Good morning. Good morning, church. Hope your morning is off to a great start. Welcome on this Thursday morning. Another week, another you asked coming up today. And man, a lot is going on around us, but God is good. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Glad to see you all jumping on this morning, and I hope everyone is doing good. Had a great time last night. Been teaching, getting the opportunity to teach the college group on Wednesday nights, and that has been such a blessing. We've got a great core group of young adults here at the church, and it's been a lot of fun. So we've been talking about all sorts of issues. We went through the Beatitudes, and last night we got to talk about what does it mean that God has a good hand. We looked at this topic within the Old Testament of the good hand of God. That was such a blessing, and it just reminded me of how good God is, how faithful He is to guide us and lead us and protect us and provide for us and establish us right where we need to be. And that was awesome. So I hope you're experiencing that this morning, the good hand of God. Good morning, Melissa. Good morning. Good to see you all jumping on here today. And this morning, as we get started, I thought we could open up with a favorite old hymn. I'm just going to adjust this here for a minute. Hold on 1 second, guys. And open up with a favorite hymn this morning. Good morning, Jackie. And I always love this song because it's the core of the gospel. And what we're going to be talking about today, going on in our culture, really, it's been going on in humanity since the beginning. I want to start off by saying the solution to everything we're going to talk about this morning, good morning, Aaron, is found in this truth, that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. So if you know this song, just meditate on the words with me, and let's sing it together. Still repeat, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. So my sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus. Give him praise this morning. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised us alive up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised us alive. We just thank you this morning for your great sacrifice, for your love for us. God, we thank you for all that you've done and are doing in our lives, and we pray that you'd speak to us this morning your truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. We are hitting another edition here of You Asked, and I received several questions regarding this topic. It doesn't surprise me at all. I've dealt with it a little bit from the pulpit on Sunday mornings. Good morning, Annette. Good morning, Melissa. And we are going to talk this morning about kind of a buzzword in our culture today. It's actually getting kind of overburned out already. It shows you how fast we're progressing as a culture. But it's still very relevant. It always has been. It will come under new titles. It will come under new names. But it's the same ideology and philosophy that the enemy has been propagating in cultures around the world from the beginning. And it's what we call today in our modern vernacular wokeness. And so the question we are going to ask today as Christians, are you woke or are you awake? And the difference, of course, there is going to be found in the scripture. Are you woke? Basically, are we going to ask the question, are you woke? Are you culturally relevant? Do you know all the cultural and philosophical worldviews of the godless society that we live in? And are you up with all the relevant practices and all these sorts of things? Or are you simply following what the Bible tells us, that we are awake to righteousness, to true righteousness and holiness in Jesus Christ? And so this morning we're going to look at this question, but let's first talk about this idea. Are you woke? The word woke has made it into the Merriam-Webster dictionary online. It is a term that is defined as this. The world defines woke as being aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. So are you actively attentive to and aware of important facts and issues? Important according to who? We're not quite sure, folks, but apparently the loudest voices in the society, the loudest politicians, the loudest minority. Maybe that's who defines what is important these days. I don't know. But And then this is added here, especially issues of racial and social justice. So are you woke? Are you aware? And by the mere definition, okay, if we weren't to look at anything else going on except just that definition, wokeness technically could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how you're defining terms. That's important. There's a lot of terms that are being used that are being redefined these days, and so we need to understand that. But what truly, for the Christian, what wokeness has come to represent is a dangerous philosophical worldview. In fact, I'm going to go as far today as saying that it has become a religious paradigm that people are living by in this world that has replaced in many ways the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, for many people, wokeness has become a replacement for Christianity, for the gospel of Jesus, to try to fill this void in the human heart for righteousness, for some sort of morality and ethical foundation. And it's sought to replace, to be an alternative gospel. And so you can see the danger already just by that definition of what happens when a Christian embraces woke ideology that the world without God is propagating and defining. What happens when a Christian embraces that and produces and acts upon these ideologies? It's a very dangerous thing. And so we need to look at this a little more in depth today, because we need to ask the question, why is it that many Christians are attracted to woke vernacular and ideology, and do they really know what's behind it? And is it possible that woke ideology is masquerading itself behind banners of Christianity, right? In fact, I would say it like this. Woke ideology is like a bully who looks strong and threatens everyone that's not like it with social ostracization, shame, and guilt. Its author is spiritual, Satan, and politicians and pastors and leaders and people are bowing to its every command, conceding to its pressure tactics. But what is wokeness really? Well, I like to see it as like a train. Woke ideology is like a train that's full of the sins of envy, hatred, bitterness, lust, greed, and human pride and self-righteousness that is masked behind train cars that are labeled compassion and social justice and equity and love and kindness, right? All those words are being used, but inside those cars are full of evil. We're going to look at that today a little bit. So when we need to talk about woke, we need to ask the question, how does wokeness identify itself? Well, when most people talk about being woke, they are talking about this belief in that there is a systemic systems in American culture, and this is even throughout the world, that victimize people who are different. Okay, so it starts off by, we live in an American culture where there's systemic, rooted racism in our culture, right? We live in a culture that victimizes people of color, specifically Black people, and you are part of this problem whether you are aware of it or whether you're not. And white people, specifically white males who are naturally privileged over Black people, and they're contributing to racism because they're just part of a systemic problem. And just the reality of their existence makes them racist. And we even have to be careful when we hear the word racist today, because it's been redefined, right? There was a time when you said racist, and what that meant is that there was sin inside the individual heart and bigotry and hatred based on skin color. And when you were racist, you were personally responsible for your actions and attitudes towards people who are different than you. That's not what racism means anymore, folks. Apparently, racism is not about individuals dealing with their own sin. Racism is simply about destroying systems that oppress people. And what it does is it lumps people into categories. You are either an oppressor or you're oppressed, and you don't even have to feel that way. You just are by the basis of your skin color or your socioeconomic status or your religion. And so we already see the danger of this already because, I'll talk about that in a moment. But wokeism doesn't stop with race. It goes into every other issue and it will continue to. It will always seek to one up. It will always seek to add another train cart to the list of issues, right? It starts with race, but then it moves into gender identity and sexual orientation and feminism and all these other things where we seek to try to categorize people into groups, which has nothing to do with the individuals within those groups, but just the groups based on their external markers, right? Like skin color or sexual orientation or gender identification or gender, whatever it might be. And this is a huge problem for our society because not only does it unfairly judge individuals and lumps them into groups, but it creates division and hatred between groups of people based on their external markers. And it should be obvious, I think, why Christians should be contrary to this worldview. For this worldview is contrary to the gospel. But let's go through and identify some key components of error and try to clarify why so many, I believe, even well-intentioned Christians are wooed by, mesmerized by, and even deceived by the leftist, secularized, woke ideology of the social justice movement. And I think we need to identify even the differences between the language that they use and the language the gospel uses. The word woke first appeared in the late 1970s when ideas like CRT, critical race theory, and intersectionality started to become kind of buzzwords and key philosophies in the world of higher education, which has slowly trickled down now into our culture. It always seems to start there with all the professors and these higher education philosophers, really worldview creators, coming up with all these ideas that trickle down into the society, into the culture. But here's the deal. Wokeness didn't get invented in the 70s or in the 80s. Wokeness got invented thousands of years ago in the Garden of Eden. You want to know who the first woke human being was? It was Eve. That's right. Eve was the first truly woke human being. She was in fellowship with God, in God's perfect world. Everything was right. Everything was good. God established the appropriate borders and boundaries for humans to thrive in and be blessed in. And Satan comes along and tells Eve, "Eve, you can have your eyes opened." That God, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, you guys know the story. That God of yours, he is trying to keep you blinded to the realities of the world. He's trying to keep you, within his own little cage. And you can be free from God. In fact, you can be like God. You can be your own God. You can know the true difference between what is evil and what is good. And you can have your eyes open to the reality. You know, God's holding you back. And you need to get woke, Eve. You need to have your eyes open. And Eve looked at that tree, that forbidden fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. And she said, "You're right, man. This is attractional. I can get outside of having to depend on God for my definitions of right and wrong. I can move outside of that and I can know myself. And I can come up with the ideas and the solutions myself." And so she eats that fruit And of course, her eyes were open, but not in a good way. Death entered into the world, sin, messes that we're still dealing with today. We're thankful that Jesus has come to redeem us from those. But here, I bring this up because woke ideology today comes from that same root, that same place. Satan convincing the world, your eyes can barely be open to what the problems are without God and without Christ. Okay, so let's talk about just three elements as I move through this, of the dangers of woke ideology in regards to social justice, racial equity, gender, and all these sorts of things. Number one, we need to understand that wokeness has become a false gospel with a false savior. Let me say that again. Wokeness has become a false gospel with a false savior for the world. You know, the world does want religion. The world wants to have some sort of a sense of moral, you know, goodness. And wokeness provides a good solution for them because it can make them feel good about themselves and about all the things they're doing to fight for social justice and equality. But they can do it without Jesus. And of course, that's evil. But when we look at this false gospel of wokeism, we understand that in wokeism, and we're going to kind of contrast this with the gospel, with Christianity. In wokeism, the problem is not sin, it is systems, okay? So in wokeism, in Christianity, the problem is sin. In wokeism, the problem is systems of the inequality and oppression. Some people are innocent, some people are guilty. And the guilty people are the victimizers, and the innocent people are the victims. And of course, the gospel doesn't teach us that. The gospel teaches us that we're all sinners, and the solution to sin is the same. It's Jesus. But in wokeism, the solution is not the blood of Jesus Christ and submission to God. No, in wokeism, the solution is social justice and activism. Social justice and activism. And if you just get active enough and you try to go after and destroy all those evil systems that are oppressing people, then you can be your own savior, basically. You can be the savior. We don't need an external savior. We don't need this Jesus. In wokeism, people are not pursuing the kingdom of God on the earth. No, in wokeism, people are pursuing equity and diversity and inclusion at all costs. And of course, I'm going to talk about how those words sound good, but what they really mean is not good. Where the Christian is saying, I want to be a purveyor of the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what he wants to do in this world. But wokeism is, no, we are on a mission, on a battle for equity and diversity and inclusion at all costs. Wokeness as a religion is not defined by the humble righteousness of Jesus Christ. No, wokeness is defined by a self-righteous, virtue-shaming attitude where people can feel better about themselves by raising up their fist and holding a sign and feeling like they did something good in the name of social justice. And where Christianity is defined by a humble righteousness of Jesus Christ, that is the mind of Christ within a believer who is propagating true righteousness in the world. The gospel of Jesus seeks reconciliation and forgiveness between God and people. Let me say that again. The gospel of Jesus seeks reconciliation and forgiveness between God, people, and one another, whereas wokeism divides people, and instead of seeking forgiveness and reconciliation, wokeism demands division and hatred and destruction towards people who are different than them. So we can see the contrast here already, right? Wokeism inspires anger and bitterness and hatred and division, where the gospel inspires forgiveness and humility and reconciliation, okay? And then, of course, the ultimate goal of wokeism is not Christ-likeness, right? The ultimate goal of the gospel is that we become more like Christ in everything we do. But the goal of wokeism is becoming more woke. It's becoming more woke. And it's never, you guys, here's the thing about wokeism. It's never enough, right? First, with wokeism, all you had to be was a feminist. But then it wasn't enough. You had to be a black feminist. And then it wasn't enough. You had to be a black lesbian feminist. And that's not enough. You have to be a black lesbian feminist who is a transgender. All right? And I'm going, but trust me, it's not the last thing on the list. There will always be some other ideology you have to adopt. And the scary thing is those things that wokeism continually adopts is not coming from the Spirit of God. Those things are coming from the spirit of the world, from the spirit of Antichrist, from the flesh of human beings who want to live apart from Christ. And so we need to understand that wokeism is a false gospel. It is a gospel alternative to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it was heartbreaking for me to see, and I'm gonna try not to be ultra critical here. I want you guys to hear, I am righteously angry, but I'm not here to self-righteously declare that I'm better than anyone else. I'm not here to be ultra critical in the flesh, no. I understand the pull and the temptation. You hear something on the news, you hear all these talking heads saying America's racist and you're racist and you know we need more equality and all of a sudden there's something in your humanity that goes, hey, you're right, you know, I need to jump on this bandwagon. But you know, it's heartbreaking to see how many churches and how many pastors really abandon the Bible and abandon the gospel to jump on the bandwagon and the trains of wokeism. I mean, it just happened so fast. I remember when the whole Floyd incident happened and it was broadcast all over the world. And of course, you guys, that incident is not isolated. I mean, there's been injustices from every angle, from every color of people against each other from the beginning. It's human sin, right? Hatred, murder, evil, it exists everywhere and always has been. But when it's spotlighted and it's posted up and it's flashed in front of everyone and all of a sudden this socialist Marxist group, Black Lives Matter, Inc., took advantage of this incident to propagate and promote their ideology to the world under the guise of racism and equality. It was all a smokescreen. It was all deception. But within like a week, folks, there were churches whose all their worship team, mega churches, were on stage within like a week or 2 weeks with Black Lives Matter t-shirts on. And all the black squares and posting the black squares and all of a sudden all the pastors were having summits on racism and systemic racism in our country and how we need to end it. And it's like, hello, people, just read your Bible. Just preach God's word. Preach the gospel. It'll come. You could talk about racism. It's in the Bible. You can talk about sexuality. You can talk about all these things. Just teach the Bible. But no, we got to jump on this thing. And all of a sudden, it's like Christians were promoting these organizations that they had no idea what they were about or who they were about. And if you posted a black square or you went to a Black Lives Matter rally, listen, I'm not here to bash you. What I'm saying is, do you see how easily we can be deceived as people? Do you see how quickly we can just respond emotionally because some politician or some public figure or some social activist got up and was really loud and was really emotional and we just jumped on board because we didn't know better? Hey guys, listen, I've done it. I have done it too. I have responded emotionally to things rather than looking at things biblically. But we need to be even more aware in this day and age. So what is our response then? How do we better respond to things like this? Well, that's number two. And that is, we need to understand that Christians have always been called to be awake to righteousness. You guys, listen, if you are a follower of Christ, you don't need to get woke. You need to be awake, the Bible calls it, awakened to righteousness. Some Christians, and myself included, okay, I'm not too prideful to admit that I've struggled with this. Some Christians are initially attracted to woke language because they haven't realized that the world has changed the definitions, right? For example, when a true Christian hears the word justice, we think, man, Micah, the Bible tells us, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. And we hear the word justice. We hear the word love. We hear the word compassion. We hear the word kindness. We hear the word mercy. And we go, yes, that's what I'm about. And so what the world can do is they can hide, really, and I'm going to say it, demonic ideologies. And they can hide it behind the word justice and compassion. And they know that the Christian will hear that and go, wait, that's what I want to be. I want to be compassionate. I want to be merciful. I must need to jump on that bandwagon. And of course, Christians should love justice. But social justice, as defined by the godless world, falls short of God's justice. And it's true. Any true Christian wants to love their neighbor because it is the imperative. It is the non-option for Christians who want to follow Jesus. We have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But unfortunately, we're adopting the world's view of what it means to love our neighbor instead of God's view of what it means to love our neighbor. And then, of course, all Christians want to see oppression cease, racism obliterated, people treated with dignity as image bearers of God. But many have fallen for the trick of the enemy that those things can happen apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ and apart from God by simply being an activist or by adopting ideologies of the world. And so we need to look beyond the language, folks, at what is truly happening. And we need to go back to the Bible. I know that sounds oversimplified, but Christian, we need to go back to the Bible. We need to turn off the news for a little while, and we need to go back to the scripture. And so that leads me to my final point, is that wokeness distracts us from biblical definitions and biblical solutions. Wokeness distracts us from biblical definitions and biblical solutions. I have found that everything the world claims they want to achieve can all be found in Jesus. Do you know that? The solution that the world is looking for in all of their attempts to make things right and just and equitable, it's all found in the gospel. It's all found in the gospel. And the gospel, of course, is a big story. I'm not going to go into it right now. But, you know, the world started right. God created the world where heaven and earth were one, where God and man were united, and where there was unity and perfection between nature and God and humanity. And sin broke that chain. It brought this darkness into God's world. And God, in his redemptive plan, is bringing those things back together. And at the end, it will ultimately culminate in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells and everything is right. But right now, Jesus provides all the solutions people need. And Christian, if you want to be part of the solution to a broken world that has racism and inequality in it and all these sorts of things, if you want to be a solution to a world that has abortion, that has oppression, that has sex trafficking, that has wickedness in it, you don't need to adopt woke theology. What you need to adopt is biblical theology. Because if you begin to be awake to righteousness and you begin to carry the light and the salt of the gospel into your world, you will be the element of change. Listen to a few verses as I close with you guys. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24 tells us what we are to put on in regards to justice and righteousness and holiness. In Ephesians 4, Paul is talking about the ways of the world apart from Christ. And he says in verse 20, but you have not learned in Christ, speaking about living in the ways of the world. You have not learned so in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Wow. We need to be taught in Christ. We need to learn Christ. We need to put on Christ. Why? Because the truth is in Jesus. And then he says, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, listen, in true righteousness and holiness. Oh man, you guys need to mark that verse down, read it over and over and over and over again. He says, we have put off the old man that is deceived according to the mind and the ways of the world, and we put on the new man, which is created in God. Notice he says, in true righteousness and holiness, which means there is a false righteousness, it's self-righteousness. There is a false holiness, it's human goodness. But we are to put those off. We are to adopt true righteousness and holiness. What matters to God? What does God say the solution is? How can I bring the gospel into this situation, right? And of course, when it comes to things like racism, the gospel provides a solution. It is not wokeism that brings racial reconciliation to people. It's the gospel. Because when you adopt the gospel, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, that whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to everyone who calls upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no difference. You want to stop hatred between people groups based on the differences they have with each other? Have them adopt the character and the identity of Jesus in their life. And all of a sudden, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes the motive of the heart. Jesus changes the way we see each other. Jesus takes away all the dividing walls. But what people want, what this world wants, is they want the answer without the solution. They want the remedy with the healing without the remedy, which is Jesus. Christian, we have the remedy. We have the answer. It's Jesus. We just need to keep preaching Jesus. We need to keep living out and standing up for the things that matter to Jesus, regardless of what the cultural issues are, regardless of what the world is saying. We just have to stay true to the righteousness of God's word and God's truth. Here's how Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And having put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of God who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against each other, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Man, I don't know about you guys, but that's better than any woke thing I've ever heard. That's better than any woke thing. That's better than anything I've heard any activists say or any politicians say. That is it. Colossians chapter 3. Put on Christ. Put on the new man. And when you do, he will clothe you in mercy and compassion and truth and grace and kindness and forgiveness. And above all things, he will put you in the love of God, which seeks grace and truth, which brings people together. You guys, Jesus is our solution. And so the big question, I know there's so much more we could cover. I'm out of time, you guys. But the big question for us today, are you woke? Are you aware of all the cultural issues and all the things that the world says in regards to social justice and racial reconciliation, human sexuality? Or are you awake to righteousness? The Bible says that now is high time that we awake out of our sleep, that we put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we put on Christ. Let us be awake to Jesus, awake to righteousness, bold and courageous in the gospel so that we can bring the true hope and the true solution to the world's problems to people in need. Amen. Well, God bless you guys, and may you walk today in the awareness and the awakeness of Jesus Christ. He is at work in this world, and he's doing amazing things all around us, you guys. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that even though we live in a world that is very broken, very distorted, that we know that the truth is in you, that the answers are in you, and that if we put on the mind and heart of Christ, that we too will carry the hope into this world of what is needed. We pray that we could be agents of change for you, Lord. Lord, you said that your word, your truth will divide people. If we are honest and we are true to what you have said and who you are, it's going to cause division, but it's going to be good division. It's going to be division that is needed. But Lord, we want to be those who are not just parroting and repeating the godless narrative of the culture. We want to be those who are mimicking Christ and speaking the truth in love and who are carrying your truth into this world. And so, Lord, we want to hold fast to the true gospel. Sin is a problem. Jesus is the answer. And you are coming again. And so, Lord, we love you. We give you this day, and we pray that you fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I love you all. And looking forward to what God is going to be speaking through us, through his word. It's going to be a great time this Sunday. Hope you can join us. And don't forget, second Sunday, prayer walk, Civic City Park at City Hall this Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Bring a friend. It's going to be an awesome time for us to be awake and alive in Christ. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Talk to you later.